Would you like to accelerate your career and reach your full potential in just minutes a day? Welcome to the LeadX Show with New York Times bestselling author and Inc. 500 entrepreneur, Kevin Cruz.
Hey guys, Kevin Cruz here. Welcome to the LeadX Leadership Show, where we help you to stand out and to get ahead at work. Now, as you know, we like to switch things up here, keep it interesting, and to continue that tradition, today on the podcast, instead of me interviewing an expert guest, we're going to have the guest deep dive into their topic. You see, you'll be hearing audio from a LeadX webinar. Now, of course, there are dozens of great webinars on leadership, management, communication, productivity, and more, all archived in the LeadX app. Just visit leadx.org for more information about our webinar archive. So enough on the setup, enough background information. Here is Vanya Mathis to introduce our guest and to hand it over to them. Enjoy.
Hi, and welcome to the webinar today, Authentic Resilience, How to Bring Your Strengths to Life. Our host is a globally recognized voice in resilience, well-being, leadership, and positive change. You may have read her book, Authentic Strengths and True You, or read about her in the Huffington Post, Psychology Today, or Thrive Global. As CEO of Authentic Strengths Advantage, she shares innovative, evidence-based tools rooted in the science of positive psychology, helping her audience bring out the best in themselves and those they influence. She also serves as the Director of Character Strengths Certification for the VIA Premier Programs. Please welcome Fatima Doman.
Hi, my name's Fatima Doman. I'm the CEO of Authentic Strengths Advantage, and it's a pleasure to be with you today. And today we're going to talk about my new book, Authentic Resilience. And I'm going to share some tools with you that I think can help during these very challenging times. This is a very unique time in history that we're all facing right now, and everyone's been stretched to the limit. And people are experiencing high stressors and anxiety, and they're questioning their abilities, and there's just so much going on with people right now, having relationship challenges because of the stress. So I've written this book to help people to build their resilience. And we define resilience as the ability to bounce back from challenges. So with that said, I want to take you to one of the key concepts in the book, and that is moving from what's wrong to what's strong. So all of us in the past have been kind of wired, really, because of our survival instinct, to focus on what's wrong. You know, we're always looking to detect errors and to fix errors. And that's a great survival mechanism, but it's even more powerful, we're learning, to focus on what's strong. That our performance goes up, our achievement goes up. There are a lot of benefits. So today we're going to talk about that really essential shift from focusing on what's wrong to focusing on our strengths. What's strong. And we're going to do this with a three-step process. The first thing we're going to do, we're going to explore our strengths and the many aspects of our strengths and our own uniqueness. We're also going to empower our goals with our strengths. So we're going to look at ways that we can use our strengths to achieve more. And most importantly, to achieve life satisfaction and fulfillment. And finally, we're going to consider how we can engage our strengths more consistently in all aspects of our lives, and this benefits our relationships as well. So this is the three-step process, and as we learn to use our strengths in those three ways, our resiliency goes up, our energy and engagement, achievement, as I mentioned earlier, our relationships become more positive and healthier, and we achieve a general sense of well-being. So we know from global peer-reviewed research studies that when we use our strengths, that we can achieve all of these benefits and more, depending on how dedicated we are to really focusing on our strengths and using them consistently on a daily basis. So now we're going to take a look at this concept called the inner critic versus the inner coach. And I'm going to share some tools with you to listen more consistently to your inner coach. Dr. Daniel Amen, who wrote the foreword to my new book, Authentic Resilience, talks about this concept called automatic negative thoughts. And he describes automatic negative thoughts as just these, you know, we're wired to survive, right? And so we look, like I said earlier, at everything that's wrong. We tend to focus on what's wrong. And these automatic negative thoughts just pop into our minds. It's just part of the human experience. So what can we do to mitigate those? I like to encourage my clients to turn up the volume on their inner coach and turn down the volume on their inner critic. How do we do that? It's what you choose to say to yourself, and it's also learning to refute a negative thought when it enters your mind. And to do that very quickly, the research actually shows that before you have that cascade of all those stress hormones from a negative thought, you know, it only takes about a second of thinking it. So we really need to learn to refute it quickly. And I'll share with you some ways to do that as well, such as, you know, let's say you have an automatic negative thought and you think, I'll never be able to take on this project, something negative like that, or I don't have what it takes for that. Okay, you can stop yourself mid-sentence and say, well, wait a minute, I can use these particular strengths. I've done similar projects in the past, and you can start to refute it very quickly within about a second. And that's the best. Sometimes we don't respond that quickly and we really internalize that emotion, but there are still many ways that we can deal with that type of negative emotion. And I'm going to talk about that a little bit later as well. But for now, I want you to experience what I mean by the inner critic and the inner coach. So I'm going to ask you, if you're comfortable with this, to just close your eyes for a moment, and I'm going to read two very distinct lists of words, and I want you to close your eyes so that you can pay attention to your physiology. You can pay attention to how your body reacts to certain concepts or thoughts or words. So are you ready? I'm going to read the two lists of words now. Weakness, focus, problem oriented, fixed mindset, blame, judge, disregard, know it already, afraid of change, either or thinking, use but a lot in your sentences rather than and, looks for offense. And now the second set of words. Strengths focus, solution oriented, growth mindset, learn, curious, respect, open to change, creative thinking, using and in your sentences, and looking for intent. So go ahead and open your eyes and just think for a moment, how did it feel to hear the first set of words versus the second set of words? When I do this in workshops, people tell me often, you know, when you read all of the inner critic phrases like weakness focus and problem oriented, they said, you know, I could feel like an old back injury kind of flare up, or, you know, I could feel my neck and shoulders tighten, or I could feel my shoulders start to slump. And then people in contrast will say, when you read the inner coach set of words, you know, I felt myself starting just to straighten up and putting my shoulders back and breathing more relaxed and deeper breaths. And, you know, I felt more clear in my thinking and so forth. So language does affect our physiology. It also affects our lives and our performance. it's very important for us to become very aware of the type of language that we entertain, the type of language that we allow ourselves to think and to speak. And it's not that we're going to eradicate forever automatic negative thoughts or that inner critic language, but the key is to learn how to shift from it quickly, to learn how to recognize it quickly, and to make that very essential shift, that important shift, to focusing on the inner coach instead. So another tool that I share in my books, Authentic Resilience, and also my previous books, Authentic Strengths and Authentic Strengths for Kids, I have written a children's book as well, is this concept of strong questions. So it's very important to understand the type of questions that you're bringing to the table. For example, I put up a question on the screen here. It's solution oriented. And I call them strong questions in my books because they're rooted in the science of positive psychology and they're focused on strengths and they're solution oriented, all of these questions. And I have a list of questions at the end of every chapter so that you can apply what you've learned with these new impactful questions. So ask yourself for a moment, you know, just ask yourself, imagine that solution had come about. What does it look like for you? Rather than focusing on the problem, you're focusing on the solution. And you may want to ask yourself, what are some ways you can start creating that solution? And then finally, how can you leverage your strengths in creating that solution? That's the key. And that's what the research is showing is very, you know, it's the game changer in, you know, making positive, lasting change, sustainable change in your life. In creating that, the game changer is accessing your strengths. So these strengths, we've been talking about them a lot, and you're probably wondering, well, what exactly are there? You know, how many strengths are there, and what are they? So I put up the list of the 24 character strengths. These are the VIA character strengths. VIA stands for Values in Action, and these come from the VIA Institute on Character. And you can take the survey on my website at authenticstrengths.com. And you can discover your own unique strengths profile for free. There's no charge. And it'll allow you to print off immediately a 2-page report of your unique character strengths profile. But I wanted you to kind of have a moment to look at them. You'll see that they're grouped into what I call 6 virtue categories. There are several strengths in each of the 6 virtue categories. So how do these build your resilience? Scientists, when they group them into these 6 virtue categories, they notice that, for example, the wisdom category, these are strengths that supply you with information and learning and tools that will help you in building your resilience. So if we're looking at this through a resilience lens, this is all about wisdom and learning, and these are the intellectual strengths, so to speak, where you can go and gather the information you need to help yourself in building your resilience. And then there's the courage category, and we know from research, recent research, 2016, 2017, on building resilience, that bravery is one of the highest correlated strengths to building resilience. Let's look at, you know, the others in this category. There's zest, there's honesty, there's perseverance. These are all strengths that we need, obviously, to build our resilience. So is any one strength more important than another? There is no strength that's more important than another. They're all equally beneficial. All of the strengths help us in living more fulfilling and satisfying lives. Then there's the category of humanity, you know, kindness to yourself. We know that this is very important in building resilience. Social intelligence, and, you know, having a network of people and friends and family that can support you. So if you can, you know, all of us live in very different scenarios and non-traditional scenarios, but we all can tap into, we can work at building a network of people that support us. Even if you have one person that you can talk to and that you can interact with in a meaningful way, this can be a great benefit in building your resilience. And during this time of social distancing, we can still connect with people. You know, we can FaceTime one another. We can call one another on the phone, and we can hear the tone of voice from the other person, even if we can't see their face. And these are important connections. And if you're having a difficult time even connecting with people over the phone or over technology, you can watch uplifting films that give you a sense of camaraderie with the people that you're watching, or read a book that's uplifting. There are a lot of things that you can do to bring more humanity into your life. And then there's the category of justice. So in this category, you know, we have teamwork, fairness, leadership. So how are you going to lead your life? What changes are you going to make in your own self-leadership to build your resilience? How are you going to develop greater teamwork in your relationships, to build your relationships? Because when we have healthier, more positive relationships, our resilience is increased as well. Then there's the category of temperance. And here we have forgiveness, humility, prudence, self-regulation. And just think about that for a moment. If you're holding on to something and you're not forgiving, you're not letting go, that takes a big toll on our emotional well-being. So forgiveness is part of building relationships and building resilience. It's also, you know, humility, understanding that, you know, all of us are imperfect, and not putting that kind of pressure on ourselves. All of these build our resilience. Prudence, thinking before acting, being careful, self-regulation, choosing, for example, I've noticed that especially during this COVID-19 time of challenge, that people who are faring really well are people who are being self-regulated in what they choose to eat, what they choose to drink, how much rest they get, and so that they're building their immune systems, and they're really looking to fortify themselves, so to speak, so that they can be more productive and be healthier and more resilient during this time. So temperance is very important. And then finally, transcendence. Here we have spirituality, appreciation of beauty and excellence, hope, gratitude, humor. All of these are so important when we're dealing with stressful situations. So for example, humor, you know, seeing the light side in the situation, being able to laugh at it or certain aspects of it, and just being somewhat light with yourself and with others. Gratitude, being so grateful for all that we have, even if it's very small, just running water and food in the fridge. And so there's a mess on the kitchen counter, but aren't we fortunate that we were able to eat to create that mess? So these different shifts in perspective and really amplifying our gratitude, our hope, appreciation of beauty and excellence, looking out the window and seeing the spring, you know, beginning to blossom, or even looking at a potted plant and appreciating the beauty in that plant. So, you know, if we're confined indoors, there are things that we can find that we can appreciate for their beauty and excellence if we look. And there are things always that we can list to be grateful for if we look, if we develop that ability to really find those silver linings in our lives. So these are the 24 character strengths, and this is what you would assess yourself on. You would take a survey at AuthenticStrengths.com. It only takes about 10 minutes. It's free, and then you'll have your report, and then you can do a lot of the exercises that I'm going to take you through in the next little bit. So what are character strengths? I just showed you the list, but but what are the unique aspects and the unique, identifiers of character strengths? So they are positive traits, they're universally valued, they're expressed at different levels, and most exciting is that they're learnable. So anyone can learn to build any of the 24 character strengths. Isn't that great? And I think that that's really relevant also when we're, you know, mentoring children, raising children, teaching children, that these can be learned. And at any time in our lives, we can be 80 years old and we can still build a strength. For example, I remember working with a remarkable 60-year-old woman named Allie, and she wanted to build her strength of perseverance. Curiosity was her number one strength, and perseverance was last on her list. And she said, "Now I know why I don't finish projects. I'm so excited and curious to learn new things." Love of learning was really high for her as well, along with curiosity. So she was taking on all these new projects, but then she jumped from one project to the next and wouldn't really finish what she had begun. And she came to me for coaching because she wanted to become more perseverant. And we worked on that. And eventually, perseverance became very genuine, very authentic for her because she found ways to use it consistently in her life. I actually had her pair it with another one of her top strengths, which was kindness. So she started thinking about how it was kind to herself and to others to finish what she had begun. And that was very motivating for Allie. So there are many ways that we can build and learn strengths. And these are some of the unique features of our character strengths. And then we have what we call our top strengths. So when you take your strengths inventory at AuthenticStrengths.com, you're going to have a list of 24 character strengths, a two-page list that you can download. And as you look at that list, look at about the top five. That's usually your top strengths. Somewhere in that range of 4 to 6, I like to say 5. And ask yourself, as you look at those top strengths, do they feel authentic to you? You're the only one who can have that final say on whether or not that's one of your top strengths or what I call signature strengths. That's kind of what the scientific term is for these top strengths that positive psychologists have identified them as your signature strengths, because it's almost like your unique signature or your fingerprint in the world and how you use your strengths, because everyone uses their strengths differently. And actually, there are over a sextillion possible combinations in an individual's strength profile. So the way that I use my strengths can be very different than the way you use your strength combinations. And there's so much variance that positive psychologists feel that they're like a fingerprint of that unique. And you want to ask yourself also, does it show up often and energize you? So if you're looking at your top strengths, ask yourself that question. Do you feel more alive when you use those top strengths? Do others notice? You've probably had people say to you, "Hey, you're such a great team player," or "You're a natural born leader," or "You really, are very curious about the world," or "You're a very grateful person." People may have mentioned to you and called out your strengths without being aware that that's what they were doing. And you can look back on those times as you look at the list of strengths and identify whether or not they're truly top strengths for you. And then last on this list, the question to ask yourself is, if you were unable to express one of those top strengths, would you feel empty inside? Would you feel as though life had lost its savor because you couldn't express one of your top strengths? So for example, for me, one of my top strengths is social intelligence. And if I found myself having to work alone long-term, indefinitely, without being able to connect with people on Zoom and other media platforms, it would be really hard for me. And I look forward for the time that I can work with people live in person again. But it's very important to understand that if it's truly a top strength for you and you don't make time to use it and look for ways to use it, that you might feel as though you're withering inside. So when people use their top strengths, you can spot them in others and in yourself as well. And I just wanted to share with you some ways in which you can spot strengths. So there are verbal cues. People will speak faster. They'll have clear, more articulate speech, a larger vocabulary, a stronger voice. And there are also nonverbal cues. People tend to stand up straighter when they're using one of their strengths. You know, just pay attention next time. They'll have better eye contact. Their eyes will light up. They'll be more animated. They might lean forward. And they might use their hands a lot if they're Portuguese, or I'm Portuguese. So people will, they'll show signs of being energized, and those are signs of using their strengths of character. So there's also what we call a shadow side to strengths. So when you use your strengths optimally, they show up the way they're labeled, like curiosity, perspective, leadership zest, and so forth. But you can overuse a strength. So for example, too much curiosity can come across as nosiness. And you can underuse a strength. So too little curiosity can come across as disinterest. And people tend to overuse strengths, especially their top strengths. You've probably heard the proverb, he who is good with a hammer comes to think that everything is a nail. So ask yourself for a moment, do you tend to overuse some of your top strengths and just use them without considering whether they're appropriate for the situation? Because that's the most common way that people overuse a strength. And when you're more intentional about how to use your strengths optimally and for the appropriate setting and situation, you will have greater benefit from using your strengths. And since we're in this COVID-19 challenging time, this time of turmoil, I thought it was very appropriate to talk about post-traumatic growth, which is something that I write about in my new book as well. And we know from the research on post-traumatic growth that these strengths that are listed here on the screen are highly correlated with post-traumatic growth. So everyone's heard of PTSD, you know, post-traumatic syndrome, and all of us have had trauma or challenging situations in our lives. And, you know, that's the trauma, right? Well, did you know that most people recover from those type of situations in about 6 months and they go back to their baseline? Some people don't recover, very sadly. There's a small percentage that don't. And there's also a small percentage that actually experience growth and they come out even stronger after the challenge or the trauma than they were before. That's post-traumatic growth. And we have learned through the research that these strengths that are up on the screen are very highly correlated with post-traumatic growth. So being kind to yourself and to others, that helps in growing from a difficult situation, and expressing love for oneself, self-compassion, self-love, and for others, you know, that meaningful relationship building that we know is a big buffer in recovering from trauma. Curiosity, you know, considering how can I use what's happening to me, you know, to grow and learn. And it's kind of like filling your sails, you know, those winds of adversity, you capture them in your sail to sail your ship where you want it to take you. Creativity, so people who can think of new ways to solve the situation. And that's why one of the first things I shared with you today in the strong questions were solution-oriented questions. So that creativity in creating solutions. Love of learning goes along with creativity in creating solutions. Bravery, you know, having the courage to look at the situation and still act. and act in a way that's beneficial to you. Honesty with self and others, perseverance, and that's very highly correlated to hope, right? And then spirituality. And we're not talking about religiosity here at all. We're talking about just a sense of meaning and purpose. So these are strengths that are highly correlated to post-traumatic growth. And then I wanted to share with you also a tool that I've developed that you'll learn more about in the book, Authentic Resilience. But this tool, what I did was I read all of the research I could get my hands on post-traumatic growth and also how people deal effectively with negative emotions and situations. And I created a three-step tool that I think is easy for people to remember. So the first thing when you're having a negative emotion is to connect within. So don't run away from it. Don't judge it, shame it, avoid it. But just get comfortable, take a few deep breaths, and observe it as if you're outside of the situation, looking at the situation. And just calmly observe the situation. That helps to diffuse it. And it helps you to be more rational in your thinking and how you're going to solve the situation. And also, quite frankly, more intuitive. It allows you to aspect all, you know, to access all aspects of your mind and to start to calm down. And it's also very helpful to identify the body location. So pay attention. Are you feeling, you know, tightness in your chest or, you know, a pain in your abdomen, or you feeling tightness in your back, neck, and shoulders? Where are you feeling that negative emotion? When you pay attention, just the act of paying attention and noticing, being mindful, helps to relax and calm that area of your body. So the next step is to care for yourself. And here we use the components of self-compassion. So Dr. Kristen Neff has written so much about self-compassion. And I reference her work and Germer's work in my book as well. And so one of the keys to offering self-compassion to yourself is to commit to self-care and self-support, and to recognize that you're not being singled out. Everyone experiences challenges and difficulty and pain and suffering. It's part of the human condition, but we also can work through that and experience the joy and the achievement and the happiness and all of the good emotions as well. So learn to care for yourself, understand you're not being singled out, commit to self-care, self-support, self-compassion, and actually act on those. Be more compassionate to yourself. And then the last step is to create a positive new perspective. So identify a strength or a combination of strengths that are your go-to strengths for the situation that would be best suited to the situation that you're in. And think about how you can use that strength or strengths to grow and benefit. And as you do this, you'll notice what's called the undoing effect of positive emotions. Because when you focus on your strengths, they tend to develop positive emotions inside because they're your unique top strengths, the ones that energize you, right? So when you focus on those, you'll find that you'll have more energy, more engagement, and they'll have an undoing effect, and you'll be focusing somewhere else rather than on the pain you were experiencing. You're now focusing on the potential within. You're shifting from pain to potential. And you'll notice perhaps that the negative emotion that you were addressing earlier has started to dissipate, and it's being taken over by this new positive perspective that you're building by focusing on your strengths. So that's the Connect, Care, Create tool that's in this book, Authentic Resilience, and you can read more about that as well. And then finally, I wanted to talk about the four aspects of our ourselves. And the four really essential aspects that we need to take care of: mind, body, heart, spirit. We're going to start with mind. And I am writing a new book about seven essential elements, and I bring even more into that book. But for now, I want to focus on just four that I think anyone can relate to right now and that we have time to cover right now. So first, your mind. So one aspect of the mind that we know can really help build your resilience is developing the sense of open-mindedness and reasoning. So when we open our minds to other perspectives and we also develop our critical thinking and our reasoning, our mind becomes sharper. So you can engage in hobbies that sharpen your mind. Even if you're, quarantined, at home or social distancing, you can still engage in hobbies. You can find things to do from home, even if it's just learning about new topics on YouTube or on the internet. And then to learn, to ask, that learning process is asking good questions and understanding why questions matter. And we talked earlier about solution-focused questions that I call strong questions. So questions are such an important aspect of building our resilience and also sharpening our mind. And then to connect with others. So to understand other people's perspectives and understand the way they think, this develops open-mindedness, and it also develops your mind in general. And then finally, to analyze. So think about intended and unintended outcomes from potential decisions that you're faced with. And analyze, think through, potential gain and potential costs for decisions that you're making right now. And this thinking process is very healthy for your mind, and it's a great way to make decisions and to perform optimally in your life. So another concept of the mind that I thought, I just selected two from each category because of our limited time today, but I wanted to talk to you about imagination and ideation. So creativity is such an important aspect of building resilience. Being able to imagine a better tomorrow, being able to imagine a better future beyond maybe even the pain that we're feeling today and the challenges that we're experiencing today and the discomfort, and the discouragement that we're experiencing right now. So when we employ our imagination, our creativity, our ideation, we can begin to imagine a better tomorrow. And Dr. Viktor Frankl, who wrote Man's Search for Meaning and was imprisoned in the Nazi death camps, wrote that one of the things that he believed was unique about the survivors, the people who lived through that experience, was that they were able to imagine a better tomorrow. They were able to envision themselves beyond those dire circumstances that they were found themselves in. So it's a really key component to building your resilience. And I strongly encourage that you read the book, Man's Search for Meaning, if you haven't read it yet, and learn all of those pearls of wisdom from Dr. Viktor Frankl. And then there's the body. So mind, we just talked about mind, now body, taking care of our physical well-being. And of course, there's, part of this is nutrition and fitness. But today I wanted to talk about two, since I'm just selecting two components from each of these areas. I wanted to talk about active relaxation, because when we're stressed out during this COVID-19 time, it's so important to understand that relaxation is not just a passive pursuit. It's not just crashing on the couch and watching mindless TV. There's something called active relaxation. And active relaxation are things like meditation, mindfulness, deep breathing, yoga. There are ways that we can actively relax our bodies that produce a multi-dimensional benefit in our relaxation efforts. So I love this quote by Gretchen Kubacki. Active relaxation is consistent with the idea of being productive, yet counter to it. Choosing activities that contribute to a deep sense of well-being, centeredness, calm, and good health. So put those activities through that lens. Like, ask yourself, is this activity I'm about to engage in, will it develop my well-being, my sense of centeredness, calm, and good health? And that's a good litmus test for whether it's an active relaxation activity. And then there's rest and recovery. So, Sean Aker and Michelle Gillian talk a lot about and write a lot about rest and recovery and how important it is to just stop and take some time out and to recover. And also Arianna Huffington, with all of her work on sleep and rest and recovery, has wonderful resources. And if you haven't already, you should check out her website, thriveglobal.com. And there are many, many resources for rest and recovery. So it's important to take the time. So many of us think, okay, I feel overwhelmed, I've got too much to do. And one of the things that we cut out first is those, that extra hour or two of sleep. But over time, as you know, it takes away from your ability to solve the very problems you're facing. Because your ability to think and to react and to respond and to interact with others is diminished when you haven't had adequate rest and recovery. And then, of course, there's heart. So we've talked about the mind, the body, and now the heart. The heart is a metaphor for our relationships. And the first and most important relationship is your relationship with yourself. That sense of self-compassion, we worked with the Connect, Care, Create tool already, and I talked about the science of self-compassion, and then also the sense of self-love, because how can we possibly be compassionate and loving to others if we haven't extended that to ourselves first? Because then we're an empty vessel from which to give if we haven't given it to ourselves first. It just makes sense. And the three components to self-compassion that I talked about earlier, I just think that they bear repeating. So self-kindness, common humanity, you're not being singled out, and then mindfulness, just stopping, taking the time to breathe through challenging situations like we did with that Connect, Care, Create tool, and to just be observant and to notice the emotions that are arising within you. That's really the best way to process them and to work through them. And then when we're talking about the heart and relationships, this whole concept of healthy relationships is very important. We need to consider forgiving others, like I, discussed earlier, and also setting healthy boundaries with others. All of these things build healthy relationships. And when you develop a network of people that you can interact with, that where you support one another, you're so much stronger together than fragmented. So relationships are core to your resilience. Look for ways that you can build more meaningful relationships, and then take the time to really be present in your relationships, to enjoy them, and to let them build your emotional, mental, physical well-being. And when we're talking about those four elements, remember we did mind, body, heart. So the fourth one is spirit. And I talked earlier about this spirit term not being a religious term at all. We're talking about meaning and purpose. And for some people, being spiritual involves prayer and some religiosity as well. But for everyone, we can all meet on the common ground of meaning and purpose. What feels bigger than self for you? What is something that fills you with a sense of meaning and purpose? And taking the time to engage in those type of activities, those type of pursuits, will really nourish your spirit. And I talk in my book, I wrote a chapter about the power of the words I am. And here's a quote from me from the book where I talk about those words, those two little words, I am, connote your deepest values, what motivates you, your vision, your unique legacy. All of that's wrapped up in those very small words, I am. Be very careful and intentional when you use the words, I am. So I've heard people say before in coaching, you know, I am a loser. I am fat, you know, things like that. I am incapable. And the first thing that I do is share with them how powerful the words I am are, because when you plant your feet in that reality using those words I am, they can hold great power over you. And I have people start to shift every time they use the word I am to think very intentionally about what they want to create for themselves. So I am purposeful. I am strong. I am perseverant. I am brave. I am kind to myself. You could go through the entire list of the 24 character strengths and start to develop those in your vernacular of what you are. I am, and use those strengths that bring you great energy. And then when we're talking about spirit as well, the other concept that I wanted to share with you today in our limited time is this whole thought, this whole concept of hope and gratitude. They're very linked together. And we know from studies on gratitude that gratitude activities and gratitude journals and calling people with gratitude phone calls, letting them know, expressing your gratitude for them and how they've impacted your life in a positive way, or simply writing a thank you email to someone that you work with and recognizing people, showing gratitude in some form, really builds your spirit, but it also builds your relationships. So it's something that you do for yourself, but also that comes back to you through stronger and healthier relationships again. So we're all connected. It's very difficult to remove ourselves from the whole, because we are social creatures. Human beings are social creatures, and that's why this time, this COVID-19 time and this challenging time of quarantining and social distancing is very challenging and difficult for people, because by nature, we thrive when we thrive together. We thrive most when we're together and when we're building our relationships with others. So I just want to close with a challenge. So there are multiple research studies that show that when you use one of your top strengths every day for a week and use it in a new creative way each day, that resiliency goes up, anxiety and depression tend to go down, and there are a lot of collateral benefits from doing this exercise. So take a look at your top strengths, choose one that you want to focus on for this week, look for ways to use it daily in a new way for a full week, and guess what the research has shown? That people who do this 1 week activity experience that mood boost that lasts on average for about 6 months. So that elevated mood from a 1 week investment, and it can even just be 5 minutes a day, finding a new way to use one of your strengths for a week, that elevated mood can last up to 6 months. Now that's an activity worth engaging in. And I want to leave you with just some final thoughts to bring your strengths to life. And I encourage you to look for ways to leverage your strengths, to build your resilience, and also start spotting strengths in others, helping them to see the strengths within themselves as well, so that you and those you care about can accomplish your goals and fulfill your potential, bringing out the best in each other. Thank you so much for your time.
Friends, if you like this episode of the LeadX Leadership Podcast, please take a minute, leave a rating on iTunes or Stitcher. Ratings are invaluable for attracting new listeners. And I like to convert those listeners into leaders because, you know, I'm on a mission to spark 100 million leaders in the next 10 years. And if you want to become the boss everyone fights to work for and nobody wants to leave, check out the LeadX platform with Coach Amanda at leadx.org. And if you have 10 or more managers who could use some binge-worthy training, send me an email at info@leadx.org, leadx.org, and we'll talk about getting you set up with a totally free pilot for those managers. See if they like it. If they don't, that's fine. We go away. Part as friends. But if they love it, you've just found yourself a new resource for them. Remember, leadership is influence. You're always leading. How are you going to lead today?